The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday, Junior. It is Thursday. Thank you all so much for spending the day with us. I got a really nice message the other day from someone who said 12 to 3 goes by really fast when they're listening to the show. And I hope most people feel that way. Hopefully, we will do that again for you today. Right now, there's a lot going on. Like, I knew the GOP was going to have all these investigations, Jared. I didn't know they were all going to be going on at the same time. Maybe I just haven't paid attention enough to old investigations.
There's a lot to get out in 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about it because part of me feels like, almost similar to how Howie felt about the Twitter files, I want to say slow down. Let people soak it in. Give people enough time to digest this. But then I think, well, there's so much corruption and incompetence, more so incompetence probably when you really think about it, with the Biden administration, that they don't have time to slow it down. They need to go at this pace to try to unearth all of the nonsense that is going on. So right now, today, there is a Senate briefing on the Chinese spy flight, they're calling it, the Chinese spy balloon that, as Jared once read to us, traversed the United States. It's just a traveler, okay? He had one of those. Did the balloon have one of those little...
It had a little hobo sack, yeah, with a pocket full of dreams and some mulligan stew.
This was the 2023 version of Grapes of Wrath.
Yes.
It was a great American story.
The balloon had an insatiable wanderlust.
Yes, it did. And so we'll watch that, obviously, make sure we grab any important sound that you need to hear. I do hope for the sake of the Pentagon that the spokespeople have a little bit better information today or deliver it better. Because the whole you can walk outside and look up at the sky and see the balloon thing. I'm hoping for their sake that they got their story straight, that they'll all be on message during these hearings, because I don't think that's going to fly with some of these senators.
Over under on brigadier generals who will say, look, man, go outside. It's not up there anymore. Why are we still talking about this?
We shot it down. It's done. That's their big thing. They want to move on from this real quick. We shot it down. It's done. Joe Biden bragged about it at the State of the Union, as we pointed out yesterday. So we'll talk about that. And also, he talked about the Chinese spy balloon while he was being interviewed by Judy Woodruff from PBS. Now, I have to fill you in on this interview because there were some nuggets. And it actually, it plays into a lot of other stories that I'm interested in getting to today. It's not going to be Biden focused. I mean, it is in a way, but we're not going to play a ton of cuts or anything. But the reason I bring this up is because I know all of you are avid PBS watchers. If you were to draw a Venn diagram of Grace Curley Show listeners and PBS watchers, it would just overlap. It would be a complete merging, Jared. The centerpiece would be the whole thing. It'd just be a giant circle. Because not only do I think my listeners out there are PBS watchers, I'm sure you're all contributors as well. And so Joe Biden sat down with PBS's NewsHour with Judy Woodruff. And he talked about a couple of things. He talked about the document debacle, the smartest man he knows, his son, Hunter Biden, and the Chinese spy balloon. But let's start with the comments on the documents, because this is going to bring me into a couple of other things. He mentions, now, again, I read today in Red State, they said his lawyers must be like, dude, do not, Do not talk about it. You know, it'd be a great question, Jared. Who would you rather be a lawyer for, Andrew Cuomo or Joe Biden? Because either way, these guys cannot help themselves. Both have massive egos. I mean, Joe has the problem of he's forgetting things now. So if you, Andrew Cuomo ignored his lawyers just because he wanted to set the record straight. Joe Biden just probably forgets. He gets out there and he thinks, oh, I'll clear this up right now. And I just envision his lawyers sitting on the side of this going, oh, God, no. He wasn't supposed to talk about this. He remembers kind of halfway through that he's not supposed to talk about it. But at that point, the toothpaste is out of the tube. It's too late. So let's take a listen to his excuse about why it's okay that he had these documents. I would like cut three, please, Jared.
I made voluntarily, no one's had to threaten to do anything. Voluntarily opened every single aperture I have with house, offices, everything for them to come and look and spend hours searching my home. Invited them. Nobody. And so, and the best of my knowledge, the kinds of things they picked up are things that from 1974 and stray papers. There may be something else I don't know.
That's an interesting, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him. So if I'm gathering, if I'm getting this, this message is being delivered to yours truly, he's basically saying I was irresponsible with documents way before Donald Trump was. So that makes it better.
All the way back to his first term in the Senate, when he was the youngest and the poorest man in the Senate.
Does he think that like you get grandfathered in or something? Like there's, oh, it was so long ago that nobody cares anymore. I think how long ago it was.
Come
makes
on, man.
It worse.
It's like related to the JFK assassination, man. Who cares? Well, ancient history.
Well,
Jack.
I'll tell Joe this. A lot of people still care about that. I'm not one of those people. I don't really focus on it, but I know a lot of the listeners do. I get those all the time about JFK. Now, he also.
And to be fair, it is not about the JFK document. I am making that joke. We don't know what this 1974 document is about.
It's always so interesting to me, the things you feel you need to clarify on. Because you'll say certain things, and I'm like, you should make sure people know what you're talking about. And then other things where it's clearly a joke, and you clarify it. I never know with you, Jared. You're unpredictable.
Keep them guessing.
Keep them guessing.
Number one rule of showbiz.
So he's also blaming, in this statement, he's blaming some staffers, right? He's saying, basically, this was a mix-up. The cleaning crew got in there. They shuffled some papers around. And I love this because there's nothing a politician, and I will go as far to say a Democrat politician, loves more than passing the buck to the underlings, than blaming the little minions. Reminds me of Lori Lightfoot when her campaign, her reelection campaign, got caught emailing Chicago public school teachers asking if their students could come work for her campaign for school credit. And then she said, you know, some overeager staffer, some young woman sent this out. It's just the blame game. But what's funny about Joe Biden is he plays the blame game with everything. And I just want to read you an old tweet from August of 2020. I've read this before, but I don't think it ever gets old. I think it gets better with age. This is Joe Biden in August of 2020. Here's my promise to you. If I'm elected president, I will always choose to unite rather than divide. I'll take responsibility instead of blaming others. I'll never forget that the job isn't about me. It's about you.
Well, let's finish the job.
I'll take responsibility instead of blaming others. Unless there's a Chinese spy balloon or documents found or the border gets overrun or inflation gets sky high.
That is false.
Or people can't afford the price of eggs. Then I might do a little bit of shifting of the blame. But otherwise, I'm taking the blame. People ask him every day, sir, sir, do you take the blame for this? No, I do not. And he comes up with some reason why. Of course not. Of course I don't take the blame for that. That was this was all happening when I entered the White House. So it's not his fault that the cleaning crew came in and some of these staffers put some papers in the wrong boxes in 1974. But I want to get to the part about Hunter as well, because I think this ties into a lot of what we heard yesterday in those hilarious Twitter Oversight Committee hearings. Let's have, this is Joe Biden's take on Hunter. This is cut two, please.
One of the things Republicans say is a priority for them is investigating your family, your son Hunter, your brother Jim. They talk about access that they say others have gotten because of you, because of your political success. How do you plan to deal with that?
The public's not going to pay attention to that. They want these guys to do something. If the only thing they can do is make up things about my family, it's not going to go very far.
Hmm. I have a few things to say. First of all, this idea that no one's going to care. No one's going to pay attention to it. It would appear, based off what I've been reading, but to be fair, I am one of those people who cares. I'm fully invested in getting to the bottom of whatever happened with Hunter Biden. But it would appear, Jared, that Hunter cares as well. Because I read today, and I don't know when the last time Pop checked in with Hunter, but I read today that Sonny Boy, his lawyers are actually sending out letters, 14 letters to be precise, to people with like Giuliani, Bobulinski, and telling them to preserve their laptop from hell records. Anything to do with the laptop, preserve it. So it's weird to me that the public's not going to care, but Hunter cares and his lawyers care. And I guess the big guy doesn't care. But
if the laptop is half fake, do they only have to half preserve their documents?
That's a very good question. These are the kind of questions that he pays the lawyers the big bucks for. It would appear that the businessman slash painter slash author slash
businessman
alleged predator Hunter Biden cares a lot. But this downplaying, this condescending poo-pooing of the laptop is funny because it's what the Dems are going to run with. This is the playbook. You know, this is what they're going to try. And so we have tons of examples. We have AOC yesterday. We have Jamie Raskin yesterday saying, there's so many other things to talk about. I love that from AOC. We could be talking about abortion or prescription drugs. She says drugs, not jugs. Or prescription drugs. We could be talking about all these other things. Here's what I'm going to say about that. And we'll play that sound for you in case you missed it, because it's pretty rich. But maybe they're right, Jared. Maybe this whole thing backfires on Republicans. Maybe nobody cares. Maybe I'm wrong and nobody cares about it. But after sitting through millions of dollars worth of bogus investigations and theatrical, stupid, wasteful impeachments to drum up a whole lot of nothing on Donald J. Trump, I'm not going to take advice on what people care about from Democrats. I'm not taking advice on what the American people care about from a woman who wants to eliminate cow farts. Maybe we'll find out people don't care, but I think we should try. I think we should see. I think we should play this one out. I think we should take a gamble. Now, to make matters worse, though, when we're watching these Twitter oversight hearings, and we've got some hilarious sound, they're about disinformation, which is really in the eye of the beholder. It's whatever you don't like is disinformation. If you don't like my show, disinformation. But what's so funny about it is, during this hearing about disinformation, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who doesn't think anybody cares about this, is spreading disinformation. She confused the Washington Post and the New York Post. Now, there are differences, Jared, between the two publications. If you've ever read an article from either, I can boil down, I can distill, I'm going to use Pete Buttigieg's word, I can distill for you what the differences are between the New York Post and the Washington Post, okay? One of these publications reports real stories. One of these publications makes up stories out of whole cloth and gets Pulitzer Prizes for it. That's the difference. AOC does not know that difference. This is how much she cares about these oversight committee hearings. She says, we can talk about prescription drugs. We could be talking about abortion. How about you do a little research into what you are there to talk about? You don't even know where this half-fake laptop story was published, and yet you feel comfortable dismissing it. Ignorance is bliss, my friend. You might want to actually figure out what happened here before you start telling us the American people don't care about it. Because the American people know a lot more than a sitting congresswoman. That's for damn sure. 844-500-4242. We're not even scraping the surface here. We got so many stories to talk about. Beyond this, we have updates on Senator Fetterman, who was feeling lightheaded. He's been admitted to the hospital. More updates on the immigrants, the illegal aliens who were bussed from New York City to Canada. Now they're coming back. Didn't last a long time. We'll get to that. 2024 updates for you. Plus, a really funny trip down memory lane. Joe Biden's going to Florida now to repeat this claim about Social Security. The GOP wants to get rid of Social Security. it's backfiring. We got an old cut of Joe from the archives that's not aging well, like everything else. We will be right back. We're going to take your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
We return not to focus on advancing this robust agenda of progress, but instead to take up an authentically trivial pursuit, all based on the obsessive victimology of right-wing politics in America.
That was Jamie Raskin. Oh, so it's the right-wingers in America that want to be victims. It's the right-wingers that are demanding reparations and all of these other things we read about every day, and it sounds like something out of the Babylon Bee. But that's the MAGA Republicans who are victims in our current society.
Trump and all his Trumpies.
I don't think so. I don't think so, Jamie. And I love how they say this is a trivial pursuit. So what are you guys so hell-bent on talking about? What do you want to discuss? Every time I listen to anyone from the left talking about anything, it's either, you know, telling boys, little boys, that they're actually little girls, or people identifying as cats, or, you know, giving cows a pill so that they won't burp. Is this the stuff that we should be focused on? Here's a question, Jamie. What do you think the American people care more about? The big guy getting 10% or Venn diagrams? Or how about this? Hunter Biden trading off his family's name, allegedly, to these foreign entities, or electric school buses? You guys don't seem to have a great grasp of priorities as far as knowing what we care about. But I appreciate your concern that this is all a waste of time, coming from the man who was one of the leaders of the bogus impeachment hearings and also an election denier. Let's go to Bruce. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, Grace. When you said earlier about just AOC's comment about the New York Post and the New York Times, I was laughing because I was thinking to myself, gee, I was really scared sitting in my living room on the North Shore during the January 6th so-called insurrections, feeling terrified in my own living room when that was happening, just like she was down the street in her own office building.
Yeah, and again, you know what, Bruce, I'm glad you brought that up because we are the ones who are always claiming to be the victims. Coming from a man who's sitting on the same panel as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and in the same party as her. No one plays the victim more. She was just playing the victim for Ilhan Omar, saying the reason Ilhan Omar was getting booted off the House Foreign Affairs Committee is because she's a woman of color, when in reality, it's because she's an anti-Semite. Just a slight difference. The difference is as subtle as the difference between the Washington Post and the New York Post. You got to really be focused in to catch the difference.
And by the way, Jamie, you had 4 years where you guys talked about everything you wanted to talk about, and the American people decided, no, we don't want you talking about that anymore. We're going to go with these guys.
Yeah, so maybe
sit down in the back.
Maybe let people who have control decide what people care about.
If you want to talk about other stuff, get more votes.
You know what, Jared? I'll throw another one at you here, okay? Because it's Thursday. We're feeling good. Someone should tell Jamie that elections have consequences. Sometimes the consequences of these elections, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is you got to talk about things you don't want to talk about. I know. It's tough. We'll be right back with more of that sound and more stories for you. Plus, Joe Biden's attacking Social Security for Republicans again. We're going to debunk this claim when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I believe that political operatives who sought to inject explosive disinformation with the Washington Post couldn't get away with it. And now they're livid.
Hold on. I don't mean to be the disinformation police, okay? Because I didn't get my degree from MSNBC University. I didn't even go to CNN college. I have no right to try to label things disinformation. I don't work for PolitiFact, okay? I don't rub elbows with Daniel Dale. But it would appear to me, and I'm just part of the white trashdom out here, but it would appear to me that in trying to condemn disinformation, Jared, AOC is actually propelling more disinformation into the ether. Would you say that's a fair statement?
That is an accurate statement.
You know what else is interesting about these Twitter hearings is that I noticed, I was watching yesterday, and you got Yoel Roth, you got all the usual players, all these ex-Twitter people, and the self-importance, like the narcissism from these people, and you can't blame them. I mean, they felt like they were gods. They were deciding who gets a voice, who doesn't get a voice, what's true, what's false, what are we going to let out into the world, what are we going to censor, what are we going to bury? I just can't get over the egos, though. It's like these delicate geniuses that are running the world. And I don't think it's a Twitter thing. It definitely is a Twitter thing. But it's more so, I think, a big tech thing. And I've come under fire from the big tech community a couple times, because when Elon was firing the janitors at Twitter and they said the place was getting stinky, I thought I could see that. I could see these Twitter geniuses in their cubicles with like takeout orders everywhere getting a little funky. But something I'm definitely going to go on the record to say is people who work in big tech, and we're having layoffs everywhere, tons of layoffs in Boston, by the way, for big tech. There seems to be, at least in some cases, a lot of very narcissistic personalities, people who really think that they know better. They are the Ministry of Truth. They are here to protect us from ourselves. And that was on full display yesterday. Also on full display was the ignorance from people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who clearly, because the Washington Post, wink, wink, it was the New York Post, because they suspended, because Twitter suspended the New York Post, these people never felt like, these Democrats never felt like they had to learn anything about this. So they don't even know the basics. They don't even know the publication that was censored. In fact, Jamie Raskin, I don't think we have this cut, but we don't even need the cut, because I'll just tell you what it is. One of these geniuses, I believe it was Jamie Raskin, made another mistake and said that the New York Post was suspended for 2 days. Should I sit in on these oversight committee hearings and just, you know, have a little buzzer next to them? Sorry, got to fact check that. This fact check is brought to you by the Grace Curley Show. Actually, the New York Post was suspended for 2 weeks. And if you want to get real specific, I think it was like a couple days more than 2 weeks. It's like 14 days or something. It was not 2 days. They really want to act like this was no big deal, like this was a blip on the radar. And one other thing I want to play here before, and we're not going to spend all day on this because there's tons of stories out there, but I do want to play one more thing from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because again, there's nothing more rich than standing up against disinformation while spreading disinformation. And I prefer to use the old school terms. You're not spreading disinformation, you're spreading BS. So one of the topics that came up yesterday is a topic that actually has to do with Massachusetts. Remember when Boston Children's Hospital came out with an advertisement or some sort of video, and they were talking about some of the transgender healthcare that they provide to children? And libs of TikTok was posting information about it. You know, this information was publicly available, and libs of TikTok, the user, was informing people on Twitter about what this hospital was planning to do, or what they were able to do in the case of this transgender surgeries and healthcare. Listen to what AOC had to say about this. This is cut 19, please.
Ms. Navarroli, are you familiar with the account Libs of TikTok?
I have heard of it from the news, yes.
Mr. Roth, are you familiar with this account?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Are you aware from August 11th to August 16th, that account posted false information about Boston Children's Hospital, claiming that they were providing hysterectomies to children?
Before we even get into it, why does she have to do that? Why does she
emphasis?
Yeah, why does she have to Boston? It's not even on words that I think are the words you'd put emphasis on. Boston Children's Hospital was providing hysterectomies. She puts a lot of emphasis on these random words. All right, continue. I don't want you to continue, but you can continue.
Yes, I am aware of that and other claims from the account.
And are you aware that this lie was then circulated by other prominent far-right influencers?
Now, hold on. Okay, yes. Pause it there. That's all I need to hear, because I really like to give you guys the least amount of this painful audio as you need to understand the situation. This is not true. She's saying that not only was libs of TikTok promoting lies, but then it was these lies were then promoted by all these right-wing vast conspiracy types. But as Seth Dillon pointed out from the Babylon Bee, who's been a victim of censorship and disinformation, he said the great irony here is that AOC is lying. Libs of TikTok has simply reported the facts about what these hospitals have said about their own services. It's all documented. But this is what they do. They use misinformation to smear you as being a source of it. You know what I'm going to say, Jared? You feel like you're taking crazy pills. So libs of TikTok is somehow at fault here for putting out information about Boston Children's Hospital. And then Boston Children's Hospital got threats, which is always wrong. You never want to see any organization or any human or anyone get threats. But is this the new standard? We can't tell people what hospitals are actually doing to minors because it's going to upset people and criticism's no longer allowed, and this might upset AOC, and you'll be called a right-wing conspiracy theorist if you promote it or if you share it. There was nothing about the information on libs of TikTok that was proven false. The hospital actually was pretty proud of all this stuff until they realized, oh, people aren't ready for this yet. People aren't there yet. But while they're trying to tell you about misinformation, they're spreading misinformation. All right, now, since we're on the topic of misinformation, we had plenty of it at the State of the Union address. And Joe Biden, one of the things he said that got people riled up was this conversation about Social Security. And this is one of his favorite lies to smear Republicans with, is that Republicans want to get rid of Social Security. And someone who's very good on this topic is a representative from Florida. You've probably seen him a lot on Fox. He's been on this show before, Byron Donalds. And he's been on CNN. He's been on with Joy Reid talking about how this is a false narrative. But that's all the left has, is false narratives, especially now when everything's in the toilet. That's all they can rely on. So, Jerry, can I get Byron Donalds cut 9, please?
The only person saying that we're talking about Social Security cuts is Joe Biden. He's been lying to the American people. No Republican on the Hill has said, hey, for debt ceiling, we're going to look at Social Security and Medicare. It is not true. I'm one of the most vocal members of our conference. I am telling you, not true.
Now, not only is Joe Biden the only person who's spreading this bogus claim that Republicans want to cut Social Security, it gets even funnier than that. Because if we do a little trip down memory lane, Jared, which we haven't done in quite some time, Joe actually has a pretty rocky history with this topic himself.
I thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
This is Joe Biden in 1995. It's a flashback. So he was, well, in 1995, he was 70 years old back then. I don't know. I'm not sure of the exact age. But this is Joe Biden in 1995. Let's take a listen to cut 7.
When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice, I tried it the third time, and I tried it a fourth time.
I'm sure there is a reasonable explanation for this. He's evolved. He was enlightened. He was educated on the topic. And so now it's okay because now he's so enlightened. He can go around spreading this lie about Republicans. The only person who fits this bill of this evil Social Security cutting, you know, monster that he's describing is him. It's Joe. The call is coming from inside the house. I just wanted everybody to know that. I think that's an important flashback. You've probably seen it today on some of the news networks, but it is funny. It is funny. And as we're talking about Joe, we might as well play one more cut here. I do want to actually, you know what? I'm going to save the Chinese spy balloon because China, Joe now says like everything's cool. China knows where we're at. And then Judy Woodruff continues and is kind of like, how do you know that? And he says he talked to them. He talked to them. It's all set. I hate to be like so nitpicky. You know, I hate to be the person who's always detail oriented. But could we get more information on this call? Could we find out a little bit more about it? If he's talking to our Chinese counterparts, could we figure out what was said? Could we maybe even hashtag release the transcripts? These are all just things that I'm interested. Maybe nobody cares. Maybe this is like Hunter Biden. Maybe this is like all of these other topics, the border, inflation, that no one actually cares about. And I'm wrong. But if Joe is picking up the phone and talking to Xi Jinping, I would like to know more about that. I would like to know what's being said. One other thing here before we go to break. Really sad story. And this is very bizarre. There's so many horrible, bizarre stories coming out of Massachusetts. There's one today in Andover. Obviously, the story in Duxbury. Before that, the story in Cohasset. Just very, very strange, odd, sad, heartbreaking stories. And today there's one out of New Jersey. And this is the second one, Jared. Did you see this? New Jersey.
I did, yeah.
New Jersey Councilman Russell Heller shot dead just a week after the slaying of Eunice Jumfor. Is it Jumfor? I'm sorry.
Jumfor, yeah.
Jumfor, that's what I thought. A New Jersey council member was shot dead in his car Wednesday, exactly a week after the unsolved slaying of Councilwoman Eunice Jumfor. He was 51, and he was found dead just after 7 a.m. in the Somerset parking lot. The local energy company where the Milford Republican worked, PSE&G, is the parking lot he was found. They quickly ID'd a former employee, Gary Curtis, as a suspect. They found him dead in his car from a self-inflicted gunshot around 3.5 hours after the murder, or after the slaying. The councilman's murder came exactly a week after Councilwoman June Ford, also a Republican, was gunned down in her SUV outside of her home. Now, her murder remains unsolved. I'm not going to speculate, comment. You read these stories one after the other, and it's very, very strange, and they're very similar in the way that they happen. So I just wanted to keep everyone posted on that. There's a lot of those stories out there today that we'll keep you posted on. 844-500-4242. More sound when we come back. And at some point, you know, we do have Woker Joke at 1:30, which is always fun. We've got Jess Machado at 2:05. Somewhere in between all of this, we're going to talk about the fact that the illegal aliens, we were just discussing this earlier this week, Jared. We were saying the illegal aliens, a lot of illegal aliens are being reticketed. That's the new phrase. When it was Ron DeSantis, it was human trafficked. But when it's Eric Adams, they're being reticketed, okay? So they were being sent to the Canadian border in hopes that they would go there and be embraced with open arms. Well, guess what? They're coming back. And it actually, Jared, plays into one of the reasons you mentioned. Not blame it on the rain, but blame it on the snow. We're going to talk about that at some point today. Tons more to get to. And we'll continue to take your calls. 844-500-4242. The Nauset Beach Inn is the perfect Cape Cod getaway for you and your loved ones. Nestle next to outdoor fire pits, give the barbecues a go. Two queen-size beds and ocean view rooms await you in every room, and pets are always welcome too. This is a great time to start looking forward to the spring. I know it feels like it's a long way away, but it's really not. It'll be here before you know it. And you want to have something fun to do. You can enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at just $179.99 a night. Or if you want to look forward to something in the summer, you can have your summer trip set with breakfast included, which is a great deal, Memorial Day through September 20th. Now, this is a really perfect place to go any time of year, Jared. You've been in there in the winter. I know Howie goes there a lot in the summer. It's just excellent all year round.
Yeah, it's the only hotel within the Cape Cod National Seashore, by the way. But you are right on the beach. I mean, it's maybe a minute walk to the water. If it's a little chilly, you can stay in the room with the fireplace in the room and look out your giant picture window and you can see the ocean. If you want to be outside, they have fire pits as well that you can sit outside. You could watch the sunrise. You can watch the moonrise. You can see the stars. It's tranquil. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's everything you're looking for to get away from the hectic.
To get away from here.
Yes, to get away from here.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And you can book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. Get all of that relaxation in and booked and ready to go. Book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. When we come back, we're going to do the poll question. It focuses on 2024. DeSantis is supposedly really coming down to the final moments of what his decision is going to be for 2024. Chris Sununu is talking about it. Obviously, Nikki Haley is expected to announce her run for president, I think, next Wednesday. And so we're going to discuss that in the poll question. We'll be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley. You probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah. There's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the... Who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
We always run the risk here when we go down the 2024 route. That people are going to get upset. That's okay, though, because everybody's got different thoughts on what's the best move for 2024. And today's poll question has a lot to do with that. It's brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you had to vote today, who would you pick for president in 2024? Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Chris Sununu, or Donald Trump?
All right, so I read a piece today in The Hill that DeSantis is edging closer to a 2024 decision. I don't really think there's any doubt he's going to run. I also saw that Chris Sununu started a 501c called, I think, Live Free or Die, something along, let me see this, yeah. He launched the Live Free or Die Committee this week. It's a 501c4 organization that allows him to raise unlimited funds as he gauges interest from donors, which also, translation, he's going to run. Obviously, Trump's already in the race. Nikki Haley's next week. So if you're thinking to yourself, why aren't you including XYZ? I'm just going with the people who right now seem like a sure thing that they're running. And this is the part where people get upset. I would vote DeSantis if it were today.
Traitor!
Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I am a traitor. Maybe I am. But that's what I would do. And I know that's not for everybody. I've been seeing the punches that Trump's throwing at DeSantis. To me, they come off as a little unhinged and a little weak. Like, I'm not impressed by the punches. If you're going to punch, you know, if you're going to hit somebody, you're going to aim, like, you got to make it count. And these are coming off as very, almost panicky to me. And I thought DeSantis' response to it, I don't know if we have enough time here, Jared. Should we save it for later? I thought DeSantis' response was good. He said, I'm focused on fighting Joe Biden. I'm not focused on smearing other Republicans. So that's my take. I know that's not for everybody. What about you, Jared?
I'm still going Trump.
You don't want to, okay, you don't want to.
I'm honestly riding the Trump train till it's done. So
what are the results?
41% say Ron DeSantis, 54% for Donald Trump in the lead, 3% for Nikki Haley, 2% for Chris Sununu.
We can talk about this a little bit later if people want to call in as well. When we come back, though, some migrants that were bused to Canada are already heading back to the Big Apple. Don't go anywhere.